Welcome to Zichudav Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Golder, and today we're Masechet Shkalim Daf Gimel, the first parak, Be'echa Ba'adar. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah lists several activities that are done on the 15th of Adar. Among them is Metzainis HaKvaros, they mark the graves. The Tikkun Chatan explains that since some markers may have been washed away due to winter rains, it was necessary to inspect the graves and replace missing markers so that the Kohanim would know to distance themselves from the graves. The Gemara asks what the source is that marking graves is required and answers that it was stated in the name of many Amorim, that the source comes from the Parsha regarding the Metzorah. The Pasuk states, V'tamei tamei yikra, and he shall call out, contaminated, contaminated. Now, why does the Torah require this? Kadesh should they add tumah korol chabafia, so that the tumah calls out to you, the passerby, with its mouth, v'omer selchab prosh, and says to you, keep away. The Tikkun Chatan explains that by the same token, graves must be marked so that people know to avoid them. The Gemara brings an additional allusion to marking graves. Point number two, in the next Mishnah, Rav Yehuda explains what the inspectors would do when they found kalaim in the fields on the 15th of Adar. After failing to dissuade the transgressors in their first two attempts, Hiskinushi Mafkirin Kol Sadakula, the Rabbani instituted that the inspectors should be mafkir the entire field, meaning to declare it onerous. The Gemara asks, Manayin Shehefker based in Hefker, what's the source that what's declared onerous by based in is onerous? So it brings a pasuk from Sefer Ezra, V'kol Shol Yavu L'Shosh Ziyamim, Ka'atzes Asarim Ezekenim, whoever does not come within 3 days, as proposed by the princes and the elders, Yachrem Kol Ruchusho V'hu Yibadu Makal HaGola, all his property shall be confiscated, and he shall be separated from the congregation of the exile. The Gemara continues with seeking the source that the produce the basin is mafkir is identical to when an owner declares his produce hefker, and it's also exempt from maisras. Point number three, in the next Mishnah, Reb Yehuda says that Ben Bukhri testified in Yavne that a kohen is not sinning if he gives a maksa zeshako, as Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, it's not so. Rather, any kohen that does not pay sins. The Gemara brings a source for the rulings. It's written in the Torah concerning the maksa zeshako, ko over al pakudim, everyone who passes through the senses. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemi interpret this pasuk differently. One said, ko da avar b'yama yiten, everyone who passed through the yamsuf shall give. According to this opinion, kohanim and levim are chayiv to give since they pass through the sea, which supports Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. The other one said, "Kol da'arba al pukudayet yiten, everyone who passes through the senses shall give." The Tikkun Chatan explains that this exempts Kohanim Levim, since they did not pass through the senses in Moshe's presence, as all the Jews did. Rather, Moshe Rabbeinu went to the doors of their tents and counted them there. This supports Ben Bukhri, who holds that Kohanim are not obligated to give. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah lists several activities that are done on the 15th of Adar. Among them is Metzainis HaKvaros, they mark the graves. The Tikkun Chatan explains that since some markers may have been washed away due to winter rains, it was necessary to inspect the graves and replace missing markers so the Kohanim would know to distance themselves from the graves. They want to ask what the source is that marking graves is required, and answers that it was stated in the name of many Amorim that the source comes from the Parsha regarding the Metzorah. The Pasuk states, V'tamei tamei yikra, and he shall call out, contaminated, contaminated. Now, why does the Torah require this? Kadesh, they have tumah korol chabafia, so that the tumah calls out to you, the passerby, with its mouth, v'omer selchot prosh, and it says to you, keep away. The Tikkun Chatan explains that by the same token, graves must be marked so that people will know to avoid them. The Gemara brings an additional allusion to marking graves. Point number two, in the next mission, Rav Yehuda explains what the inspectors would do when they found kalaim in the fields on the 15th of Adar. After failing to dissuade the transgressors in their first two attempts, Hiskinu Shimafkirin Kol Sadakula, the Rabbanan instituted that the inspectors should be mafkir the entire field, meaning to declare it onerous. The Gemara asks, Menaijah Hefker based in Hefker, what's the source that was declared onerous by based in is onerous? So it's written, Sefer Ezra, V'chol Shol Yavu L'Shosh Ziyamim Ka'atzis Asarim V'Zakenim. And whoever does not come within 3 days, as proposed by the princes and the elders, Yachrem Koruchusha V'hu Yibadu Makal HaGola, all his property shall be confiscated, and he shall be separated from the congregation of the exile. The Gemara continues with seeking the source of the produce that based in his mafkir is identical to when an owner declares his produce hefker and is also exempt from maisras. And point number three, in the next Mishnah, Rav Yehuda says that Ben Bukhri testified in Yavne that a kohen is not sinning if he gives the maksa zeshekel, whereas Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says it's not so. Rather, any kohen that does not pay sins. The Gemara brings a source for the rulings. It's written in the Torah concerning the maksa zeshekel, ko over al pakudim, everyone who passes through the senses. Rav Yehuda and Rav Nechemia interpret this pasuk differently. One said, ko da avar b'yama yitin, everyone who passed through the yamsuf shall give. According to this opinion, kohanim and levim are chayiv to give since they passed through the sea, which supports Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. The other one said, "Kol da'arba pukudaya yitin, everyone who passed through the senses shall give. The Tikkun Chatan explains that this exempts Kohanim Levim, since they didn't pass through the census in Moshe's presence, as all other Jews did. Rather, Moshe Rabbeinu went to the doors of their tents and counted them there. This supports Ben Bukhri, who holds that Kohanim are not obligated to give. All right, so now we get our Sim for Dav Gimel, and our Simon is a Gamal, a camel. So here goes. The camels that carefully avoided the freshly marked graves as they ate from the climb transgressors' produce that based him was mafkir, belonged to Kohanim on their way to give their marks as a shekel. Once again, in slow motion. The camels, that must mean we're in Duff Gimel. The camels that carefully avoided the freshly marked graves, which reminds us that the Mishnah lists several activities that are done on the 15th of Adar. Among them is the Mitzainis and Kavars. They mark the graves. The Tikkun Chatan explains that since some markers may have been washed away due to winter rains, it was necessary to inspect the graves and replace missing markers so that Kohanim would know to distance themselves from the graves. The Gemara brings a source that marking graves is required from the Pasuk in the Parsha Metzora that states, but tameh tameh yikra, and he shall call out contaminated, contaminated. Why does the Torah require this? Kadesh teha tumah koro l'chavafia, so that the tumah calls out to you, the passerby, with its mouth, v'omer socha prosh, and says to you, keep away. The Tikkun Chatan explains that by the same token, graves must be marked so that people will know to avoid them. So the camels that carefully avoided the freshly marked graves as they ate from the climb transgressors' produce that based them was mafkir, which reminds us. In the next mission, Rabbi Yud explains what the inspectors would do when they found climb in the fields on the 15th of Adar. After failing to dissuade the transgressors in their first two attempts, he skinu shi mafkir and called sadakua. The Rabban instituted that the inspectors should be mafkir the entire field. Gemara asks, Menayin shehefker based in hefker. What's the source that what's declared onerous by based in is onerous? And it brings a pasuk from Sefer Evra. Whoever does not come within 3 days, as proposed by the princes and the elders, all his property shall be confiscated, and he shall be separated from the congregation of the exile. And the Gemara continues with seeking the source that the produce that based in is mafkir is identical to when an owner declares his produce hefker and is also exempt from maestros. So the camels that carefully avoided the freshly marked graves as they ate from the climb transgressors' produce that basin was mafgir, belonged to Kohanim on their way to give their marks as a shekel. Which reminds us, the next mission of Yudah says that Ben Bukhri testified in Yavne that a Kohen is not sinning if he gives the marks as a shekel, whereas Rabbi Yochum and Zakeh says it's not so. Rather, any Kohen that does not pay sins. The Gemara brings a source of the rulings. It's written in the Torah concerning the marks as a shekel, kol over apakudim, everyone who passes through the senses. Rabbi Yudah and Nechemiah interpret this pasuk differently. One said, kol da'avi b'yamitin, everyone who passed through the yamsuf shall give. According to this opinion, Kohanim and Levim are chayav to give since they passed through the sea, which supports Rabbi Yochum and Zakeh. The other one says, kol da'avi apakudaya yitin, everyone who passed through the senses shall give. The Tikkun Chatan explains that this exempts Kohanim Levim, since they did not pass through the census in Moshe's presence, as all other Jews did. Rather, Moshe Rabbeinu went to the doors of their tents and counted them there. This supports Ben Bukhri, who holds that Kohanim are not obligated to give. So once again, the camels that carefully avoided the freshly marked graves, as they ate from the climb transgressors' produce, that basin was mafkir, belonged to Kohanim on their way to give their marks as a shekel. All right, now it's time for a 4-blot back Hazorah. Daf Kuf Yud Tes, the Simcha Kuf Yud Tes, is a kite, so here goes. At the annual kite festival, that must mean we're in Daf Kuf Yud Tes. At the annual kite festival, colorful kites of all shapes and sizes carry treasure chests of gold and silver away from a foreign land, which reminds us of Rav Yudah said in the name of Shmuel, Kol Kesef Zahav Shmuolam Yosef Likdu Vohibiyu Mitzrayim. Yosef gathered all the silver and gold in the world and brought it to Mitzrayim, and when Bnei Israel went up from Mitzrayim, they took all the money from them, as it stated, Yinatsu Etz Mitzrayim. And they emptied Mitzrayim. The money remained in Eretz Yisrael until the reign of King Rehoboam. Thereafter, it was repeatedly taken from the Jewish people by the other nations and then recaptured by them until it was taken in succession by the Chaldeans, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans, and it still remains in Rome. So at the annual kite festival, colorful kites of all shapes and sizes carry treasure chests of gold and silver away from a foreign land. High above the men sitting at a royal feast where the king lifted the Koshel Bracha, which reminds us that we learned from Yigdal HaYod V'Yigamal, and the child Yitzhak grew and was weaned, and Avram made a great feast on the day Yitzhak was weaned, that Asi to Kosh Baruch Hu Asa Su'udos Tzedikim, that in the future Kosh Baruch will make a great feast for the Tzedikim on the day that he bestows his kindness upon the progeny of Yitzhak. At that time, after they eat and drink, they'll then offer the Koshel Bracha to Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, and Yeshua to recite Birchas and Mazon, and each one will say that they cannot recite the Bracha for different disqualifying reasons. It will then be offered to David Melch, who will say, Ani Avarech Veli Na Levarech, I shall recite Birchas and Mazon, and it's fitting for me to recite, as it says in the pasuk, "Kos Yeshuas Eso b'Shem Hashem Akra." I shall raise the cup of salvations, and the name of Hashem I will invoke. The Marshal explains that since David built Yerushalayim and his son Shlomo built the Beis Hamikdash, he was qualified to thank HaKadosh Baruch for the major themes of Birkas Hamazon, such as Bris Milah, the Torah, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and the Beis Hamikdash. So at the annual kite festival, colorful kites of all shapes and sizes carry treasure chests of gold and silver away from a foreign land. High above the men sitting at a royal feast, where the king lifted the kosher bracha and reminded a chef not to bring out the Viennese dessert table. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, "Eim maftirin achar Pesach afikomen." We may not conclude the Seder meal after eating the Pesach offering with afikomen. Rav said this means shul yakrim chabura chabura, that after eating the Pesach, people should not uproot themselves from their group to go join another group. The Rosh Hashanah explains that according to Rav, the word afikomen is a contraction of the words afikum minayhu, take out your eating utensils from here so we can go and eat somewhere else. Since according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Pesach cannot be eaten two places, the Rabban prevented the eating of any food in another place, lest someone take along some of the Pesach meat and eat it in the second place as well. According to Rav, if one remains in his original place, he may eat other foods as well. Shmuel says it means that after the Pesach, one should not eat desserts, which were called afikomen, a contraction of afikumine, bring out a variety of sweets. The Rosh Hashanah explains that since kudshim should be eaten in the manner of kings who do not eat ravenously, the Pesach should be eaten late in the meal when one is no longer hungry. Eating after the Pesach would suggest that one is still hungry. Tosafot say the reason is that the taste of the mitzvah should remain in our mouths. Daf Kuf Chaf. The siman is a cook. So here goes. The cook. Cook. That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chaf. The cook at the Economy Pesach Hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only a derabanan, which reminds us, Rabbi says, matzah bezman zed deraisa umaror derabanan. Matzah nowadays is still a mitzvah deraisa, but maror nowadays is a mitzvah derabanan. And the Gemara explains that maror is not deraisa because the Torah requires the carbon pesach be eaten on matzah's morarim, with matzahs and bitter herbs, which we learn from this. Bezman deka pesach yesh maror, bezman deleka pesach leka maror. That when there's a carbon pesach, there's a mitzvah deraisa to eat maror, and when there's no carbon pesach, there's no mitzvah deraisa to eat maror. Regarding matzah, on the other hand, a second pasuk states, "Be'erev tochu matzos," in the evening that follows the 14th of Nisan, you shall eat matzos. Rav Achim Yaakov disagrees and says that matzah and maror are both the rabbanan nowadays, and the pasuk "Be'erev tochu matzos," in the evening you shall eat matzos, is coming to teach that someone who is tamir or bederech rechoka, or on a distant road, who cannot partake of the pesach, still is a chiyuv deraisa to eat matzah. So the cook at the Economy Pesach Hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only a derabanan, and matzah for the last 6 days of Pesach because it's only optional, which reminds us, the brisa that supports Rav states, "Sheishes yamim tochum matzos b'yom shvi'i atzeres l'Hashem el kecho." For 6 days, you shall eat matzah, and on the seventh day, it shall be a gathering for Hashem your God. From here, we may infer, "Mashvi'i rishus av sheishes yamim rishus." Just as the seventh day is optional, meaning there is no requirement to eat matzah on the seventh day, so too are the 6 days optional. The Bryce explains how this inference was made. So the cook at the Economy Pesach Hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only a derabanan, and matzah for the last 6 days of Pesach because it's only optional, really infuriated the guests when he told them they must finish eating by chatzos. Which reminds us that the Mishnah states, "HaPesach achar chatzos metameis yadayim." The carbon pesach makes the hands tame after chatzos. The Gemara explains that at that point it becomes noser because it may no longer be eaten, and noser is metame one's hands mid the rabban. Rav Yosef says that this mission is only consistent with the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, as it was taught in a brisa that the pasuk states va'achos abasim b'layla zeh, and they shall eat the meat on this night. Rabbi Elazar says that it says on this night b'layla zeh, and it says regarding makos b'choros va'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla zeh, and I will pass through the land of Mitzrayim on this night. So just as makos b'choros refers to night up until midnight, so to hear, by the eating of the Pesach, the prescribed time is up until midnight. Rabbi Akiva said to him, "But is it not say that you shall eat the Pesach b'chipazon in haste, which implies that you shall eat the Pesach ad shas chipazon, up until the hour of haste, meaning until daybreak, when you will hasten to leave Mitzrayim?" The Pesach b'layla zeh is coming to teach that one must have thought that the Pesach could be eaten during the day, just like other kudshim. The Pesach comes to teach, "B'layla hu necho ve'eno necho b'yom." It's eaten at night, but it's not eaten by day. So we see from here that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that it's innocent the rice to eat the Pesach after Chatzos. Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. The siman is a cocoa bean farmer. So here goes. The hardworking cocoa bean farmer. Cocoa bean farmer. That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. The hardworking cocoa bean farmer who was incensed when he saw a lazy cone leave over some Kodesh meat, while another one was mafago his enemy's carbon, which reminds the Mishnah Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Beis stated, a pigle v'nos metamis yadayim, pigle, and nose from metamis the hands. The Gemara states that either Rav Huna or Rav Chisda said the Rabbanim created this rule because of Chashdei Kohuna, the suspected Kohanim, and the other said it was due to Atzli Kohuna, the lazy Kohanim. The Gemara, as explained by Rashi, says that the two Amoraim did not disagree. One taught that pigles metamis the hands to prevent unscrupulous Kohanim from intentionally making a carbon pigle so as to cause a loss to its owner. The Rabban therefore decreed tumah on the hands to be matriach the kohen to immerse them, which would serve as a deterrent. The other one taught that noser is matami the hands to prevent lazy kohanim or Yisraelim from failing to eat the carbon on time. So the hardworking cocoa bean farmer who was incensed when he saw a lazy kohen leave over some kodesh meat, while another one was mafago his enemy's carbon, threw and poured hot coffee on them. Which reminds us, the Mishnah records a malchokas tanaim about someone who was eating meat of the Karban Pesach and meat of Chagiga, each of which requires its own bracha. On the Karban Pesach, the bracha that's recited is Le'echo HaPesach, and before the Chagiga, it's Le'echo HaZevach. Rabbi Shmuel says, Birch, Birch HaZepesach, Patras Shol Zevach, Birch Shol Zevach, Patras Shol Pesach. If one said the bracha for the Karban Pesach, he exempted himself from saying the bracha for the other Karban, but if one said the bracha for the other Karban, the Chagiga, he did not exempt himself from saying the bracha for the Karban Pesach. Rabbi Kiva says that neither bracha exempts a person from his obligation to say the other one. The Rashbam explains that the Torah requires that the blood of a carbon pesach be poured on the wall of the Mizbeach, and the blood of the Chagiga be thrown on the two corners of the Mizbeach from a distance. The Gemara explains that both Tanaim agree that lo shvicha b'klal zrika, pouring, is not included in throwing, and the Machlokes revolves around the issue of whether zrika b'klal shvicha, throwing, is included in pouring. According to Rishmael, throwing is included in pouring. So the bracha for the Pesach exempts the bracha for the Chagiga. Rabbi Kiva holds the throwing is not included in the pouring, and therefore he requires a separate bracha for the Pesach and Chagiga. So the hardworking cocoa bean farmer, who was incensed when he saw a lazy Kohen leave over some Kodesh meat, while another one was mafago his enemy's carbon, threw and poured hot coffee on them that was being brewed for his sons, Pinyon Ben. Which reminds the Gemara brought the incident of Rabbi Simlai, who attended the Pinyon Ben, where the people said it's obvious to them that the father makes a bracha of all Pinyon Ben, since he's the one doing the mitzvah of redeeming his son. But they were in doubt as to who recites the Shehecheyanu, the father of the Kohen. Does the Kohen recite it as the physical benefit of this mitzvah, meaning the redemption money reaches his hands, or does the father recite it because he's the one who's doing the mitzvah? Rabbi Simlai did not have the answer and asked in the Beis Midrash and was told, Avi Ben Mevarakshtayim, the father of the son recites, the Gemara concludes, Vehokas Avi Ben Mevarakshtayim. And the halacha is that the father and the son recite two brachas. Daf Beis, so the Simra Daf Beis is a house. So here goes. As the first of Adar sirens on the Beis Din collection house, that must be on Daf Beis. As the first of Adar sirens on the Beis Din collection house proclaim the start of collection time, which reminds us, the opening mission of the Masechta states, Be'echo ba'adar mashmino ha'shkalim. On the first of Adar, they, meaning Beis Din, proclaim regarding the payment of the shkalim. The Gemara asks why the announcement was made on the first of Adar, and answers so that the Jews will bring their shkalim in their designated time, and in this way, the withdrawal of the temple chamber funds will be made for the new donations in its proper time on the first of Nisan. Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak said, Trumas halishka ketchilasa, the withdrawal of the new shkalim from the temple treasury chamber occurs on the first of Nisan, like its initial date that occurred in the wilderness. So as the first of utter sirens on the Beis Din collection house proclaimed the start of collection time, while the very powerful Yitzhak feverishly misdirected people to donate to an evil cause, which reminds us, having mentioned that if the proclamation to collect the shkalim were to be made on the first of Adar Rishon, the Yetzer would cause people to procrastinate, given that they have 60 days to contribute, the Gemara brings more examples of the power of the Yetzer. Rav Yehuda bar Pazi said in the name of Rebbe, Hennikra v'lini ba'es, can the psukim be read without one being seized by fear at the power of the Yetzer? When Bnei Yisrael were asked to donate for good, meaning for the building of the Mishkan, the Torah states, kol nedivrei, everyone who was generous brought donations. This implies that not everyone was forthcoming with the donation. However, when they were asked to donate for evil, referring to the Chet Egel, the Torah states, Vesparku Kla'am, the entire people removed the gold rings that were in their ears. This implies that even Jews who were not generous by nature donated. And the Gemara brings three more examples. So as the first of Adar sirens on the Beis Din collection house proclaimed the start of collection time, while the very powerful Yetzer feverishly misdirected people to donate to an evil cause, the Truma agents had an all-hands meeting to plan for three different donations. Which reminds Rabbi Chagai said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, Shalosh Trumas Nemar b'Parshas Zos. Three donations are mentioned in this Parsha, meaning Parshas Truma. Trumas Adanim, Trumas Shkalim, and Trumas HaMishkan. They're the donation of the sockets for the Mishkan beams and pillars, the donation of Shkalim for the communal offerings, and the donations for the needs of the Mishkan. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus three bonus questions from previous Masechtas. Number 1. Which of the one that the Avi Ben makes both brachas of the Pinyon Ben of Al Pinyon Ben and the Shehecheyanu, that's on Daf Kuf Chafav, good, number two. We shall think that one of the activities of the 15th of Adar was marking the graves. That's on Daf. Gimel and Shkolim, good, number three. We shall think that eating matzah on the final 6 days of Pesach is only Rishus. That's on Daf. Kuf Chaf, good, number four. We shall think that the announcement of the collection of the Maxis of Shekel begins on the 1st of Adar so that the communal funds can be withdrawn on the 1st of Nisan. That's on Daf. Base and Shkan. Good, number five. Which after when the Yosef at Tzadik amassed all the world's wealth in Mitzrayim and Bnei Israel took it with them when they left? That's on Daf. Kufyotes. Good, number six. Which after when the question of the bracha of the Pesach exempts the bracha on the Chagiga is based on the Malchokas of Zrika is Bechlal Shvicha? That's on Daf. Kufchafal. Good, number seven. Which after when the opening psukim of Parshas Truma refers to three Trumos, the donation of the Adanim for the communal offerings and for the Mishkan? That's on Daf. Basin Shkolim. Good, number eight. Which of the when the people knows from Matami the hands because of Chajde Kahuna and Atzli Kahuna? That's on Daf. Kuf Chafav. Good, number nine. Which of the when the Rabbanit Institute that the inspector should be mafka the entire field of people who planted Kalim? That's on Daf. Gimel Shkolim. Good, number ten. Which of the when the power of the Yetzohora is evident in that only people of a generous nature gave to the Mishkan, whereas everybody else gave to the Eagle? That's on Daf. Basin Shkolim. Excellent. Now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which after we have in Malchuk is whether one should rely on the gates of the Azara closing miraculously? That's on Daf. Samach Dawad and Pesachim. Good. Number two. Which after when the Reb Elazar and Azari opened up the Beis Hamidrash to Talmidim? That's on Daf. Chaf Ches and Brachus. Good. And number three. Which after we discuss the difference between a pit filled with water versus one filled with produce? That's on Daf. Kufin Shabbos. Excellent. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.